You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
So last week we started a new series called I Said This, You Heard That,
it's
all about communication. And we're actually studying this series together in life groups, groups of people who meet together during the week online. And I hope you're having a great time with your life group. We've been having some really awesome discussions throughout the week, having a lot of fun talking about our personalities, our temperaments, and our communication. So if you're not in a life group, I want to encourage you, it's not too late. Go to our website, go to Next Steps, jump into a life group. It's the best way to get the most out of this series. But we thought because we were talking about communication that it would be helpful for Amy and I to teach this sermon, this message together, because communication is a two-way street. Now, I'm going out on a limb here today, okay? Especially you married guys, you'll know this, right? I'm doing a message on communication with my wife, okay? This is going to be recorded. She can play this back to me for the rest of my life and remind me of what I taught today.
And I will.
In fact, I saw a meme from Ray Romano, really funny. It said, remember that when you're talking to your wife, this conversation will be recorded for training and quality purposes.
So I hope you're taking notes.
Yes. Okay. So Amy will be replaying this message to me forever, for training and quality purposes. So last week we said that communication involves two things, right? It's what's said and what's heard. I said this, you heard that. So let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever tried to say something that you thought was helpful, but the other person didn't quite hear it that way? Anybody ever experienced that before? This happens to us as a married couple all the time. In fact, this just happened just the other day. Amy and I were getting dressed to go somewhere, and I thought we were dressing up a little bit more. Amy thought we were dressing, you know, more casual, and so we were busy kind of getting ready, didn't really see each other until I walked back into our bedroom, and we were ready to leave, and I'm like, come on, babe, you ready to go? And I saw her casual outfit, and I'm like, oh, you're wearing that. I was like, I thought we were dressing up a little bit more. Now, I was trying to be helpful, but how many of you aren't surprised that Amy didn't hear it that way? She heard it like, I'm a grown woman. I don't need you telling me how to dress. I think we can all relate to that, right? How many of you have ever felt misunderstood when you were in a conversation? I think most of us have been there before, and we can all relate.
Absolutely. I know I can relate. So today, let's start off by reviewing the key verse that we've been going through the last couple weeks. So this is a verse that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian Christians because he wanted to help them love each other better through their words. Amen. So let's read this out loud together. If you're following along at home or here in person, the words are going to be on the screen so you can read it out loud with us. Let's read Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So here's the thing. Most of us tend to naturally communicate from our own needs, right? That's the easiest thing that we know. It's our default. It makes sense to us. And that's just kind of what we tend to go to. But what if we could learn to begin to communicate according to other people's needs? How would that change things? How would that allow us to love people better, to encourage people more, and to really make a difference by meeting their needs?
Right.
So the challenge is that everybody has different needs. It's like we're speaking different languages, and it can be so difficult sometimes. And why is this? Because we all have different temperaments.
Yeah, speaking of the different temperaments, we have our poster here today, and last week we went over these, and we're going to talk about these temperaments in just a moment. Now, we're using as a resource for this series a really great workbook by a Christian counselor named Kathleen Edelman. And what she did is she took the four classic temperaments that have been around since like Greek times, and she did something brilliant. She color-coded each one of these. And it just makes sense, and it just makes this so much easier to remember. So let's start up here. We have the yellows, the sanguines, who are extroverts who speak the language of people and fun. Where are all my yellows at? These are the bubbly, really outgoing, popular people, okay? Extroverts. Then over here we have the reds, the calorics. These are my people. The reds speak the language of power and control. Yes, the natural born leaders. So the top two are extroverts, which means they tend to project their feelings and their thoughts outward. We're external processors, which means a lot of times we speak before we think. It happens to me all the time. Okay? And then you come down here, you have the phlegmatics or the greens. They're the people who speak the language of calm and harmony. They're introverts. And then we have the blues, which is Amy over here. The melancholics who speak the language of perfection and order. They're also introverts, okay? So they tend to keep their thoughts and their feelings inward. All right, so over here on this side, the reds and the blues are more task-oriented, okay? It doesn't mean they don't like people. It just means they're more task-oriented. And then the yellows and the greens over here are more people-oriented. So you have the extroverts up here, introverts. You have task-oriented over here and people-oriented over on this side. How many of you are already recognizing which one you are? How many of you did your homework this week and you did the temperament assessment that's on our website? All right, I see some hands going up here. If you didn't do that yet, you can do that. Go to our website. If you scroll down on the homepage, there's a section that says, I said this, you heard that. And we've got some free resources there. There's a free temperament assessment you can take. We also have a paid version you can take. We don't make any money off of it. It's just a more robust version if you want to do that. You can also get this workbook. If it's something you're interested in, it's really helpful for families. And if you're studying this in your life, group, so those resources are available on our website. I'd really encourage you, if you haven't, take the temperament assessment. So why is this important? Here's why. Because you need to recognize that your wiring colors your communication. Your wiring colors your communication. Your temperament, it affects the words that you communicate, the words that you speak, and the words you need to hear.
Absolutely. So today we want to talk about how the colors of our temperament mix when we're communicating with other people, especially with our loved ones and those that we're closest to, like our spouses, our coworkers, our family members, and friends. So like you said earlier, I'm blue and Jeremy's red.
Yep.
And so together we make the color
Purple.
Preschool skills are coming in handy there. So we are going to spend some time talking about this because the way our temperament and our personalities come together is what we call a relational dynamic. And our particular relational dynamic is the color purple.
That's right.
So we want to illustrate this for you. And a great example is how we do family vacations. So he just talked about this language that all these temperaments speaks. And so I'm the blue. And my language is perfection and order. And so this really comes out in our family vacations, the way that I pack and I plan everything. I want to make sure I have every single thing covered for whatever is going to come up, from a Band-Aid to my dietary needs, because I'm on a special diet, to make sure I have everything that I need and everything's perfectly packed. And I'm very meticulous about it. I spend way too much time packing. And here's the thing. I always forget something.
Always.
Because we come home from church. It's always on a Sunday that we leave. We have lunch and we rush out the door. And then I leave something at home. And it drives me nuts to spend $200 for a bathing suit that I have sitting in my dresser drawer that I forgot.
And she obsesses over it.
And then I spend the whole week obsessing about it because it wasn't perfectly in order. And I missed something. And it drives me nuts. So my secondary color is green. And so the way this comes out in my vacations is that I like peace and rest. I like to do nothing on vacation. I want to watch Netflix, lay out at the beach, maybe read a book, and that's it. Like, just totally relaxing and not doing anything. So that's my definition of vacation for the fun side. So Jeremy is made up of the red and the yellow, and he has a completely different idea of what family vacation should be like.
Yes, yeah, so I'm a red, and we naturally speak the language of power and control. We're the strong leader types, and so I often pick out where we're going to go for vacation, and I tend to plan out what we're going to do each day. But I'm also that bossy parent who's saying to my kids, come on, get up, let's go. We're wasting the day. Get out of bed. Come on, let's go, right? And so I can be really red in that way. But then I also have as my secondary language the yellow. And yellows can be really adventurous, whereas Amy wants peace and calm. I can really want adventure. So when I go on vacation somewhere, especially somewhere new, I want to explore everything. Like, I don't want to miss out on anything. So let me give an example of how this played out in our vacation last summer, okay? So last summer, we went up to Maine. We were trying to figure out where to go, you know, with where are COVID numbers really low, and nobody lives in the state of Maine, by the way, so we figured, let's go to Maine, you know, secret's out. And so we had gone there the year before and really enjoyed it, and we decided to go back, but my yellow kicked in, and I'm like, come on, let's do a few different things this time. So let's go spend a couple days in Portland. We never really explored Portland last time, so we went there, and then I was like, but the boys really enjoyed Acadia National Park, which is like 3 hours away. Let's drive up there and take them to Acadia for a couple days. But, you know, Amy doesn't really love hiking, so we're not going to stay there too long. And plus, I love a beach vacation during the summer, and the coastline of Maine is really rocky. So let's jump in the car and let's drive down to Cape Cod and spend a few days there. And so we were like driving all over the place, packing the kids up, staying in three different hotels, moving around like we were in the witness protection program. Okay? For me, I loved it. But how do you think that fell on Amy, who needs like the calm and who just wants to like, you know, do nothing and just lay in bed all day? So you can see how the colors mix here.
Yes, I needed vacation from my vacation, basically. So you can see how these different colors can kind of mix. Sometimes they mix really well, and sometimes they don't. So we want to be really intentional about what to do when they don't kind of mix as well naturally. And I know some of you are laughing out there, but I know you can completely relate because you've been there before.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to discuss some practical tips to help us with our relational dynamics. This is going to be super practical today. And so I want to invite you to take some notes, okay? If you have the Redemption app, open that up. There's a spot on our app where you can take notes. You can get the app from our website. But we're going to give you three tips today to help you with your relational dynamic, with the way you're relating to all of these people as your colors, the different colors of your temperaments are mixing. So here's the first point. You can put this in your notes. Number one, know the strengths and weaknesses of your temperament. If you want to have a healthy relational dynamic with other people, you have to first know the strengths and weaknesses of your own temperament. So important. Let's look at our key scripture again, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, just the very first part of our main verse. And here's what it says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Unwholesome talk. Now, remember, there is no temperament that is any better than another, right? There's no perfect temperament. We all maybe wish we had some other temperament we don't have, but each temperament up here has its own strengths and weaknesses. But here's the problem. Sometimes we end up speaking out of our weaknesses rather than our strengths. It happens to all of us, and that's where that unwholesome talk can end up coming out as we communicate with other people. In fact, we posted a list of the strengths and weaknesses of each temperament on our website. So if you go to our homepage and scroll down to the resources, you'll also find that we added a chart with strengths and weaknesses for each of the different temperaments. It's actually a pretty exhaustive list, but today I'm going to go over just a few basics to give you an idea, and you can tell me if you recognize these in yourself. So for the yellows, for the sanguines, they are uniquely wired to see the best in people and circumstances. That's their strength. So for example, Pastor Jim. Many of you know Pastor Jim. He was on the screen earlier, I think, for the announcements. Pastor Jim is a classic yellow. Sometimes we'll be having a staff meeting, you know, we come into the staff meeting and most of us are a little bit flat. Maybe we're not quite awake, but Pastor Jim comes in just the eternal optimist, yellow, full of encouragement, you know, just turned up to be in the meeting, and he just lifts everybody's spirits. Like, that's his strength. Okay, so that's the strength of a yellow, but yellows also have a tendency to be forgetful and naive. Yellows can be so much the life of the party that nobody's getting any work done. That's the yellows. Okay, for the cholerics, the reds, okay, these are my people. We're uniquely wired to be visionaries who can see and achieve goals. Very natural when it comes to leadership, natural visionaries. But we also, on the weak side, have a tendency to be bossy, impatient, and intolerant. And Amy would probably say at some point
Amen.
In time, I've been all of those. All right, then there are the melancholics, the blue people like her over here. They are uniquely wired to anticipate obstacles and to creatively problem solve. This is Amy like 100%. So me being a red, being a visionary, like I get an idea, something I think we should do. And like before you know it, I'm already casting vision, inspiring people. Come on, let's take that mountain before I've even thought the whole thing through. And Amy's like, stop the bus. And she sees like 10,000 problems that I haven't even thought of yet because that is her gifting. But blues can also have a tendency to be judgmental and critical.
Yeah, I
won't
do that,
say
though.
Whether or not
no.
I've ever experienced any of that blueness from this blue over here. Okay, then there are the greens, the phlegmatics. They are uniquely wired to stay calm and kind in the midst of chaos. Come on, if you're ever in the middle of an emergency, you want like a green in charge because they're going to keep everybody from freaking out. But the greens also have a tendency and their weakness to avoid conflict, to disengage, and they can be too compromising. These are the passive aggressive types. They just kind of go quiet on you and stonewall and just completely disengage, okay? So everybody, every temperament has strengths and weaknesses. Now, remember, last week we said that every word you use is a word you choose. Every word you use is a word that you choose. And the key is that we want to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to get into the habit of speaking out of our strengths rather than our weaknesses. Come on, we have the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Like we can choose with God's help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can choose to speak out of our strengths rather than our weaknesses. Now, let me give you an example, okay? I'm going to be open and vulnerable as a red. I'm going to give you an example of my redness, okay? On one hand, I can use my red words and my red strengths to lead and to preach and to cast vision and inspire people, right? Those are my strengths. But I can also, on the weak side of my red temperament, I can give in to the weakness. I'll give you an example of that, okay? Just a few weeks ago, I was at my doctor's office at WestMed, which is the medical group that we belong to, and I was seeing a new doctor. I've been having a lot of back pain issues this year, so I was seeing a pain management doctor. And you guys know how this works. A lot of times when you see a new doctor, you have to get a pre-authorization with your medical insurance. And so when I got there, I checked in. The receptionist asked for my insurance card. I gave it to him, and he's like, "We'll call you up in just a few minutes, Mr. Ziegler." So he called me up about 5 minutes later, and he said, "Hey, Mr. Ziegler, for some reason, like, we're having trouble getting this to clear. We may have to call your insurance." And so, you know, my redness started to kick in right now. I'm having this conversation on the inside here. Okay, be patient, be calm, be a nice Christian. But my redness starts to kick in, you know, the sense of control. So I'm like, "Do you want me to call them for you? Like, I'd be happy, like, to help take care of this." He's like, "No, we're good." He's like, "Let me make this phone call, and then you go have a seat." So I'm sitting down, I'm waiting. He calls me up like 5 minutes later. Go up to the receptionist desk, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to have to call my supervisor, you know, just to check this out, to make sure you have the pre-authorization." I'm like, "Yeah, I called beforehand," like, and then the redness starts kicking in, right? I'm like, "Hey, like, this is my medical group. Like, I'm here all the time, right? Like, my primary's here. I was just here last week with my kids, you know, to see the pediatrician. Like, come on. Like, what's the hold up here? Do you need my help or something?" He's like, "No, we got this under control." And so I'm, "All right, good." So I go sit down, and then 45 minutes pass. I'm waiting to see the doctor, just wasting my time. And I begin to realize I'm not waiting because the doctor isn't ready. I think there's still a hold up here on the whole insurance. So I get up and I go to the receptionist and I'm like, "Hey, what's going on?" I'm like, "Is the doctor ready to see me?" He's like, "Oh no, I'm still waiting to hear from my supervisor." Okay, guys, then the redness completely took over and took control, and I let him have it. I'm like, "Dude, I've been sitting here for 45 minutes. 45 minutes of my precious time, of my life that I can't get back. I told you, like, this is, like, we're here all the time. My primary's office is right there. My wife's primary office is right there. My kids go to the pediatrician here. Like, we're here all the time. Come on, man, you are wasting my time." And I just totally went off. Yes, your Christian pastor lost his temper. I told the guy I was ticked. I let him have it, okay? Pray for me. I need grace just like the rest of you. Don't judge me. We all need God's grace. So there you go. You can see it. We all have our strengths and our weaknesses, every one of our temperaments. And here's the point. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you get to choose which one you speak from. You get to choose, right? So I have a tendency as a red. I can be bossy. I can be impatient. I can be intolerant. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, I choose to be the compassionate, inspirational leader that God has called me to be. Maybe you're a yellow. Maybe you're a sanguine. Maybe you can be forgetful and naive and be the life of the party and not get anything done. But with God's help, you're going to be that yellow, inspirational person who lifts everybody's spirits and circumstances. Maybe you're a blue, right? Maybe you have a tendency to be judgmental and critical. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, you're going to choose to be that creative problem solver that God has called you and wired you to be. Maybe you're a green and you can have a tendency to avoid conflict and to totally disengage and to stonewall or to be overly compromising. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, you're going to choose to be that leader who stays calm and kind in the midst of chaos. You're going to lean into your strengths. Can I get an amen, somebody?
Amen.
All right,
that's
Amy's
so
going to do
good.
Point two for us.
All right, so let's discuss the second practical tip. So number two is know the words each temperament needs. Know the words each temperament needs. So let's recap. Go back to Ephesians 4:29, and let's read this again. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." Right? So each temperament has its own set of innate needs. These are needs that are filled by people saying words to us and the words that we say to ourselves. So let's go back over here to the chart that we did last week. We did this needs chart. So let's review it for all the temperaments again so you have a chance to see. Okay, so over here we have the yellows, right? Yellows have a need for approval, acceptance, attention, and affection. Right? So when it comes to a yellow, I think of my oldest son, Aaron. He is a yellow all the way. And his favorite days at school, when he comes home and his face usually has a huge smile on it, he tells me all about how he made the class laugh. and he was so excited, whatever, he told a joke or he did something funny, and all the attention was on him. So that day, what happened? His needs were filled, right? He got the approval, he got the attention, and his heart was full because his needs were met. So you go over here to the red. Red has a high need for loyalty, sense of control, appreciation, and credit for work. Come down here to the blues. Blues have a high need for safety, sensitivity, support, and space and silence. Now, I'm a blue, and my quiet time is so important, especially with a house full of boys. Over here, we have our greens. Our greens have a high need for harmony, for worthiness, lack of stress, and respect. So I hope you can kind of see where you fit in and which one's really resonating with you. So I want to give you a little example of this. So I'm blue, like I mentioned, and I have a high need for sensitivity. And so especially in a conversation, I have to feel safe, right? And so Jeremy is a red, and we talked earlier how reds are extroverts, right? So they process everything externally. So Jeremy tends to do this a lot, and when he's processing, he kind of gets everything out there, says everything pretty bluntly, throws it all on the table, loves to do that with other people, but sometimes he does it with me, and what happens? I'm super sensitive, and so I can tend to get my feelings hurt. So sometimes when we're in these temperaments, just what we naturally go to is not the need of the other person, and sometimes I don't mix so well. Because here's the thing, words stick with us, right? Especially if they're a positive word, something that's spoken over us, a blessing. It can actually like empower us into becoming into a new calling. It can speak encouragement and make our hearts fill with love. But then sometimes we have negative things that are spoken over us, and they can really cause a lot of hurt and pain. And the way that we're wired, it really can cause us to hear things completely different depending on our temperament.
That's right.
So one comment that's made to somebody can be completely brushed off and not think anything about it. And the same comment can be made to somebody else and completely crush and devastate them. What motivates one might completely overwhelm another. So let's take sports for an example. Anybody play sports when you were a kid? Or maybe you still play sports.
Yep.
I did. I wasn't very good at it, but I did it anyways. Music and art was definitely my forte. But nonetheless, I still did some. So think about a coach, right? And so they're in the middle of a game. Game isn't going so well. The team is losing. And he's trying to do a motivational talk, but he's a little frustrated. He's a little, like, on edge because he wants to win this game. And he's got this whole team full of all these different temperaments. So his speech, how it lands on maybe the reds and the yellows, might be super motivational. They might be excited. They're pumped up. The speech came through. They're digging their heels in. They're going to go out. They're going to fight. And they're going to win this game. But that exact same speech is also said to the blues and the greens. And that might actually discourage them. They might actually begin to think, am I even good at this? Maybe I should quit. Maybe it's not something I should do anymore. And it can actually cause some harm. Now, the coach isn't doing it on purpose, but how it lands on the different temperaments really makes a difference on how people hear them. Yep. And so being aware of people's temperaments can really help us speak their language to build them up, just like Paul was talking about in this verse. And that's exactly what we want to do. So I know you might be thinking, how in the world am I going to remember all this, right? All these needs, these different temperaments for all these people. But I just want to encourage you, if you just focus on the people that you're closest to and really meeting their needs, it's going to be a lot easier to begin to speak their language. So I have one more example for you. And it's kind of fun being on this side. All these years of him telling stories on me, tell stories on him, right? A little bit of payback.
I'm in trouble.
Okay, so here's another example. So Jeremy's a red, right? We've been talking about him being a red. So two needs that he has is the need for appreciation and credit for work. So we have a little joke around the house. Every time Jeremy does something around the house, if he cleans or he fixes something, he has to broadcast it to everybody and let us know what he's done. And so usually I'm a little perturbed and a little sarcastically, I will respond, do you want your gold star? I'll give you your gold star later because I do the dishes and I don't get credit.
Yes, I clean my gold star.
And I don't get credit. So it kind of became a joke for years about him getting his gold star because every time he had to tell me what he did. And so this summer when we were doing this study together, it really was a light bulb moment for me that's actually a need that he has. He has the need for appreciation. He has the need for the credit for work. And how hard is it for me just to say thank you? That's it, right? How hard is it to say, hey, I noticed that you mopped the floor today. I just really appreciate it. Thank you so much for doing that. Because the truth is, I didn't have to mop the floor, right?
That's right.
So all I had to do is say thank you. I think that's a pretty good trade. He mops.
That's right.
I say thank you. So, you know, I've really been trying to work on that to really kind of meet those needs. And I hope he notices that I've been doing a little bit better because our words are so powerful, right? The stakes are high when it comes to the things that we say. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Wow, right? The power of life and death. And we want to be people who speak words of life over people, right? Who speak words of encouragement, who speaks words of just bringing life into them like never before. And the way we can do that is by speaking the words that they need to hear.
Amen. Well, I have a very nice collection of gold stars. Thank you, dear. And I just want, I want you guys to hear on the record that I actually do help out around the house. So there
he
you go.
Clean,
all right.
Yes. Four gold stars.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Here's number three. If you're taking notes, hope you are. Number three, we're talking about some tips to help you manage the relational dynamics in your life, the way all these colors are mixing. Here's the third one. Know what to do when your needs aren't filled. Know what to do when your needs aren't filled. So in a perfect world, right, each of us would get exactly what we need for our temperaments all the time. We'd have all of these inner needs met. So for you yellow people, you would be the center of everyone's attention. For you red people, when you speak, people would just do what you ask them to do. Come on, red people, wouldn't that just be wonderful? A world of control. Your kids would just jump and do whatever you ask them to do. For the blue people, you would have perfection in order. Everything would be in its perfect place. For the green people, you would have harmony and world peace, and we would all hold hands and sing kumbaya, and it would be wonderful. But how many of you know that's not going to happen? Like, that's not the way the real world works, right? We're not going to always have all of our needs met. And so the truth is that our appetite for these innate needs, it's kind of like our appetite for food. It's never fully met. Like, when it comes to eating, we're always between empty and full. Isn't it amazing? Right? You can eat a big breakfast and feel so full, and then a few hours later, you're ready for lunch. And then you can eat lunch and feel really full, and then a few hours later, you're ready for dinner, right? You're never always full. You're between empty and full. So what do we do when we're running on empty, when these innate like needs, these emotional, psychological needs that are connected to our temperament, what do we do when they're not met, when they're not filled? Well, I'm going to tell you what you do. I'm going to tell us what we all naturally do. Each temperament has a subconscious reaction that shows up in our words and in our and how we react to other people when those needs aren't filled. And it's actually used to manipulate others into giving us what we're craving. This is what we do. We actually find ourselves without realizing it. Every temperament has its own way of kind of manipulating other people to get those needs met. And this is some of that unwholesome talk, that unwholesome communication that the Apostle Paul was talking about. So let me just give you a few basic examples here, okay? So for the yellows, for the sanguines, they tend to manipulate with charm and flattery. Come on, yellow people, you're extroverts, you're bubbly, you have the people skills, and you can just end up telling people things about them that you're not even sure if you believe to try to get them to do what you want. And you know you do it. That's your form of manipulation. For the reds, the choleric types, that we can manipulate with tone and volume. If we didn't get what we wanted the first time around, we'll just say it louder and a little bit stronger. Just keep ramping it up. For the melancholics, the blues, they tend to manipulate with moods and silence. She does this to me all the time, all the time. Gives me the silent treatment. I'm on like an island of silence. That's how she manipulates. That's how blues manipulate. The greens tend to manipulate with procrastination and stubbornness. Gotta love the passive-aggressive people. They'll just stonewall you. Like, they'll just, yeah, I'm on and off, but they're really gonna procrastinate. It's their way of sticking it to you, right? They're like shoving little mental knives in you while they don't do what they told you they were going to do, green people. All right, so hopefully you can be honest with yourself and recognize how you tend to manipulate. All right, so I'm a red, and I'm going to be vulnerable here and give you an example, okay? So I have this inner need for control. It's just there. And so here's one way it plays out. Like, sometimes I'll be around the house, you know, with my three boys trying to get them to do something I need them to do, like clean up around the house and do some chores with me, okay? And so the first time I'll ask them, but how many of you parents have discovered that quite often your kids don't just jump up and do anything you ask them to do? Come on, parents, where are you at, right? And so a lot of times I'll find myself leaning into my red manipulation side, and the tone gets a little bit harsher and the volume gets a little bit stronger. And then if it doesn't work the second time, the third time around, the tone's even really stronger, really louder. And I have to be honest, there have been times where I find myself just completely going off of my kids, just berating them, just crushing them, like saying things to them that, you know, I'm really a little bit ashamed of. And here's the thing, did I get the results that I wanted? Did I get them to do what I wanted them to do? Yes, but at what cost? At what cost to the relationship. Because there have been times that I've caught myself saying things that I recognized in the moment was a way of me trying to get what I wanted, this need of control, but I was doing it at their expense, at the expense of the relationship. You see, guys, when we manipulate, we're selfishly prioritizing our needs over the needs of the other person. That's what we're actually doing. We're saying, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get what I want. We're prioritizing our needs over the needs of the other person. And it's the extreme version of our temperament. And guess what? We have to just get honest with ourselves and admit that it's not healthy. It's not healthy. And most of the time, we're unaware that we're even doing it. So how many of you are thankful for this message today? How many of you who are doing this and been with us on this journey the last 2 weeks? Yeah, I'm so thankful for this. I'm so thankful that Amy and I have discovered this, and we're always adding something new to help us grow in our communication and our relationship. So now we can recognize this, okay? And let's just be honest. Let's be honest for just a moment. For many of this has had a significant effect on our relationships. Like, this has had a significant effect. This has caused some hurts for many of you. For many of you, like, this has caused some damage to the people that you love the most, your family, your friends. So what are we going to do when these innate needs aren't being met? What do we do? Because they're still important. These innate needs, these psychological and emotional needs, they're still important to your well-being. So what are we going to do? Well, here we go. I'm going to give you two things that you can write down. Church online, two things that you can write down. Number one, learn to recognize when you're beginning to manipulate. Learn to recognize when you're beginning to manipulate. This should be like a check engine light going off. Like, you know, the check engine light on your dashboard, letting you know something is wrong with your car. You know, when you're red and you catch yourself ramping up the tone, ramping up the volume, like that's a check engine light letting you know, hey, I'm getting into that manipulation thing that I do. You know, if you're a blue and you just go silent on your partner completely, pay attention to that. That should be a check engine light that you're beginning to slip into some unhealthy manipulation. So the first thing is to recognize it. Number two, ask yourself, how can I communicate or act in a healthy way? Come on, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with God's help, how can I communicate or act in a healthy way? So I'm going to give you guys one more really practical example here, okay? And this is an example for me as a parent. So for you parents, I think you'll really be able to relate to this, but we can all relate to this. So here's an example from my life. A few years ago, I used to be home every Monday night with our three boys. Amy had worship rehearsal with our worship team every Monday night. And I would be home with the boys. And this is when they were a lot younger. So three young boys. You know, it was my job to do dinner on Monday nights and to entertain them and to make sure that they had their homework done and that they were all bathed and had their teeth brushed and they were in bed. How many of you know with three young boys, that's a handful. If any of you have boys, you know what I'm talking about. Like, for three kids, that's a lot. You know, in and of itself, with three boys, it was really a lot. And I found myself on Monday nights kind of getting into this bad rhythm of yelling all the time and you know, punishing the boys and spanking them and being angry with them. And I began to realize at some point in time, I had a little Holy Spirit light bulb moment that went off. Maybe it was the check engine light here. And I realized, like, man, I'm really getting into a bad routine with my kids on Monday nights. Like, I'm not creating the kind of memories that I want to have with my kids. Like, one day I'm going to look back and realize, like, man, Monday nights, you know, these nights when Dad was home with the boys, they weren't really good. And that's when, with the Lord's help, I came up with a completely new idea that changed everything. That's when I came up with the idea of Monday night dance party in the Ziegler house with the boys. Yeah, we broke out the ice cream. We turned on the Michael Jackson and the hip hop. I started giving the kids all of my best dance moves from the 80s and the 90s, like everything that I had done on the dance floor at my high school dances. And we started having fun together. And it just completely changed the atmosphere. We started having fun. And I'll just tell you, it was a lot easier to get my kids in bed, to get them motivated to brush their teeth. And the kids started looking forward to it when mom would leave for worship rehearsal. Instead of being stuck at home with Dad, I was like, Dad, are we going to have ice cream and dance party tonight? And it kind of became a legendary moment in the history of the Ziegler family. In fact, we still bring back dance party every now and then. It could happen. So there's an example, right, of leaning into our strengths rather than our weaknesses. And it really will make a difference in your relationships. It changed my relationship with my boys.
It was a great night for me because I just got out of the house. It was amazing.
And she doesn't like to dance.
Yes. Okay. So as we're wrapping up here, let's read this verse one more time together. Ephesians 4:29. And you guys are going to have this memorized, especially those who are you following along in life groups, as this is our key verse that we're reiterating over and over. So let's read this together one more time. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Now lean in here. That it may benefit those who listen. Right? That it may benefit those who listen. So what is our goal? What is the whole point of what we're trying to get to with this? Is that we want to speak words that benefit the people around us, especially those that we love. How many of you want that today? I know I do. I know I want to speak better words, encouraging words to my kids, right? That I would fill them with love, fill them with encouragement, especially because I don't want to pay for counseling and all that money will take to screw them up, right? So, you know, I want to speak better words of encouragement to my husband, you know, to speak the words that he needs. I want to speak better words of encouragement to my team and my team leaders and to encourage them. And so this has just been a great way for us to dive in and to really learn and to really learn how to do that. And how to do that. So if we really take this verse that Paul talked about here and we really, really lean in, how much of a difference can we make if we really try to speak words that benefit other people?
Amen. Come on, how many of you want that? Come on, church. Church online, how many of you really want that? You want to see that in your relationships. And I think most of us do. I think most of us have a sense of, yeah, I want to communicate in a more healthy way. But I know many times we feel really powerless to change. Anybody feel that way sometimes? Like as you go through all these temperaments and you hear the different stories of the way we react, and I see you guys elbowing each other. And I think sometimes we feel like, man, I want that, but I feel really powerless to change. Can I just encourage you this morning? It's really not about you changing. It's really not about you changing your temperament. Remember, your temperament, like this is your DNA. Like this is fixed for you, like psychologically, emotionally. This is wired into who you are. It's not so much about changing your temperament as it is allowing God to redeem your temperament. Come on, it's you allowing God to redeem your temperament so that you live out of your strengths rather than your weaknesses. Church, I got good news for you this morning. His grace is sufficient. Come on. It's about getting up every day and allowing the grace of God to wash over our lives. God, I may not be able to change me. God, you made me red or green or yellow or blue or whatever color you made me. You made this relational dynamic what it is. It's not about me changing, but God, it's about me allowing you to redeem my temperament so that I can be the person you're calling me to be. God, I can live out of the best version, the redeemed version of myself and live out of my strengths rather than my weaknesses. Can I get an amen, somebody? Come on, that's what we want, church. That's what we want. And here's the good thing. We have the help of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. I'm believing it for it to cover our lives, to bring healing to our hearts so that there's an inner transformation so that day by day we can get up and live out of our strengths rather than being bound by our weaknesses. And that's what we're going to pray for you today. Come on, we're going to just take a moment to pray for you. Would you just pray with me? Would you just bow your head? Church online, just bow your heads wherever you're watching right now, wherever you're listening. Let's just pray together right now and invite the Lord to do this work in our lives. Father, we thank you so much for this message today. We thank you for this powerful scripture that the Apostle Paul gave us in Ephesians. And Lord, today we repent for the times that we have spoken unwholesome words, that we've allowed unwholesome words to come out of our mouths that have hurt the people that we love, that have hurt people around us. Lord, today we thank you for this moment, this kind of wake-up call today to recognize our wiring, to recognize the way that you made us. And Lord, we're asking you today to not to change our temperaments, but God, to redeem us. God, to cover us by your grace. We thank you that your grace is sufficient so that, Lord, we can begin to speak out of our strengths rather than our weaknesses. Lord, we're praying right now for healing in our hearts, healing deep down in our emotions and the way you wired our inner beings, that, Lord, we would be filled, that those needs would be filled so that we can be those who speak words of life, words of wholeness, words of healing, words that benefit everyone who listens. Father, we pray that you would do it in us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.